So the next talk, the last one before the poppy, is chum salmon as a covariate of resident killer whale population viability, and Antonio will be presenting that.
This is starting to feel like a familiar place up here. And so this is a short presentation. Just until recently, we started compiling sufficient information around chum salmon so that we can conduct the first steps in this methodology that we have developed. And so I'm going to talk to you about the importance of chum salmon as a covariate of in Chinook vital rates of killer whale models. So this is just a recap. In the first presentation, I talk about the development of these demographic models, right, from which different metrics are extracted, including population growth rates and elasticities and sensitivities, and of course, the projected vital rates. As a second step, we relay those vital rates with different metrics of abundance of Chinook salmon within an hypothesis-oriented framework. And then we take all of that information into what is called a perturbation analysis, in which we look at the influence of the interactions that were found through regression analysis on population growth rate. And yesterday, we identified two metrics or two ways to evaluate this, the influence of Chinook salmon abundance on population growth rate. One of these metrics was the elasticities that show the influence of a change in a vital rate from potential population growth rate. And we talk about the retrospective analysis that shows how variation of a vital rate in the past has influenced population growth rate. And for that, there is a technique that is called a life table response experiment. Right? And so just a reminder also here that now in this presentation, we are incorporating chum. So as we know, the quality of the chum data and the coverage is not as good as for Chinook. So we didn't consider for this first iteration to develop chum-only models, and we decided just to add chum as a covariate of those Chinook models that we found. And so a reminder that I'm going to be referring to female 1 and female 2 as young and old reproductive females, and female 3 as post-reproductive females, male 1 and male 2 as young and old females. I mean, males. So the current evidence that we have regarding resident killer whale diet is that chum salmon, the frequency of occurrence of chum salmon in the diet increases in resident killer whale diet in the fall and eventually surpasses the frequency of occurrence of Chinook salmon. Right? That's what we have seen. And we have additional information that for the northern resident, the stocks that are represented are mainly the Fraser, the east coast of Vancouver Island stocks, and the south British Columbia coast stocks. When it comes to the southern resident, there is not enough genetic information on the composition of those stocks, but it is assumed that most of them are Puget Sound stocks. Now, the data that we are using for this simple analysis that I'm going to present, we compile terminal run mostly from fall stocks from BC, DFO sources representing different areas in northern BC, in central BC, and south BC. And we were also able to compile information from Washington terminal run, summer, fall, and winter, and mostly compiling the information from the technical reports from the technical committee of the Pacific Salmon Commission. And this information is representing Puget Sound, Hood Canal, and Juan de Fuca Strait. So these are, in this methodology, the first step is to identify, what are the simple relationships between killer whale vital rates and abundance of Chum. And we can see here, again, it's another interesting observation, is that most of these regressions take place with older females, fecundity and survival of older females. And again, this is an interesting point that eventually we would like to explore in more detail. So I'm highlighting here those relationships that had the greatest statistical significance, right? Potentially explaining a greater variability of the variation in the vital rate. And we want to relate this information to those Chinook models that are that show interactions with those precise vital rates. So these are the killer whale Chinook regression models that were relevant for female 2. And here we can see at the very last column here in this table that we are including the hypotheses, right? And just a reminder of the hypotheses, that hypotheses 1A and 1B, 1A is for southern residents, 1B for northern residents, they are looking to strengthen the weight of evidence coming from the diet components that have been identified in the diet in the killer whale. The second group of hypotheses, hypothesis 2A and 2B, they are simply embracing the assumption that salmon is, in this case, Chinook salmon is still an important component of the diet year round, right? For this case, in this case, we don't have the same weight of evidence as we have for the hypothesis 1A and 1B. Right? So, trying to relate and combine this information into multiple linear models, right? And following an AIC criterion to select the best models, right? In all cases, the incorporation of Chum salmon in those Chinook models increase the statistical significance, right? Here we are seeing some NAs for the southern residents, especially for hypothesis 2A and for fecundity, and 1A for survival, because there wasn't any significant influence of Chinook on those vital rates. So basically here we are identifying how these models that include Chum and Chinook salmon, they are increasing the significance of those models identified only for Chinook. Now, how this increase in statistical significance translates into effects on population growth rates. And just to show you these the main components here that we identify as relevant when it comes to Chum abundance trends, it is interesting that only for hypothesis 1A and 2B, so the terminal run for northern and central BC Chum, it shows a kind of a slight decline in relative abundance. That doesn't occur with the Washington terminal run, or it's not that obvious at least. So in this plot, I'm presenting a comparison between those Chinook-only models and then those new models that we have generated incorporating Chum abundance as a covariate, right? So in the first one, we have here the simple a measure of influence on population growth rate from the Chinook influence on the terminal run of Fraser Early and Puget Sound stocks. Yesterday, we saw that the influence was really small. Right? When we incorporate the terminal run from Washington Chum, there is a significant increase, I mean, relative to what the Chinook-only model showed, right? But when we compare this to the largest Chinook-only model that we identify in this perturbation analysis, which corresponds to the ocean abundance of Puget Sound Chinook, we see that still the influence of this combined interaction of Chum and Chinook and female 2 fecundity is going to be still pretty small. Right? Now, when we go to the second component of how to identify the influence, which corresponds to the retrospective analysis, and we try to identify the influence of the variation of observed population growth, we have a similar situation, right? The influence of past Variation of population growth was very small, as we identified yesterday. And the incorporation of chum salmon as a covariate increases substantially, right? But again, relative to the largest Chinook killer whale vital rate interaction, is still pretty small. And similarly for the northern residents, here we see that I'm not showing here the Chinook-only models trying to avoid overpopulating the plot, but in all cases, the Chum-Chinook models increase the influence on population growth rate relative to the Chinook-only models. But again, when we compare it to the largest influence on population growth rate, in this case, is generated by the... It's a Chinook Big Five ocean abundance. So these Big Five are the five coastwide stocks that that lead most of the abundance in the that drive most of the abundance in the ocean, at least when it comes to the CTC model, and they are Oregon Coastal, Puget Sound, Fraser Lake, WCDI, and Upper Columbia River. So again, the influence of this particular aggregate of Chinook stocks on this particular vital rate, calf and female one survival, is way larger than the influence of these combined covariates. When it comes to the influence of past population growth, we have exactly the same sort of things occurring here with a greater influence of chum. But still relative to the Chinook-only models, they remain smaller. Right? So what this is saying is that some of the population viability analysis that we are going to present in the next talk, using Chinook-only models are going to, and using maximum effect scenarios, are going to represent also the effect of Chum-Chinook combinations. So then what we found here, as a summary, is that there is a significant interactions in these models were detected only for all reproductive females, which, again, it remains a very interesting research question. What is that going on? And we found that the incorporation of a Washington Chum terminal run is more important for southern BC terminal run for than southern resident BC terminal run for southern residents, whereas for the north central BC terminal run is more important for northern residents here in West. So that's not a surprise. The inclusion of Washington Chum terminal run improved substantially the regression with female two fecundity under hypothesis 1A. But the influence of population viability of the southern residents remains very low. And the inclusion of a NCBC chum terminal run also improves substantially the regressions with female two fecundity and survival, but we saw that there are Chinook models that have a greater influence on the northern resident killer whale population viability. So what this is saying is that the chum is definitely a component that needs to be part of future research. It's clear that they become important in the fall and that they can play an important role also in population viability as more data are compiled. And this is it for this presentation.
It seems to me the really interesting question from this is that when you go from a Chinook-only model to a model that has chum as another covariate, what happens to the coefficients on Chinook? In other words, does it predict you get more or less impact of changing Chinook abundance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't think that we have looked at that on detail.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
What were the delta AIC values for adding? I didn't see.
Who is?
I'm right here. What were the delta AIC values for adding chum in these models?
I didn't include them there, and I don't have it at hand. But I mean, there were all they indicated that in all these cases, the bringing chum as a covariate reduced substantially the AIC.
But it's substantial 2 or 20?
Yeah, I don't have the values here. Yeah, we follow the whole process, right, of identifying the weights relative, and the delta is AIC values, right?
Well, what you presented for the R-square values, I didn't quite see a direct comparison between models with and without the actual change in the R-square or anything. So what's the difference in the R-square value between that? So maybe
I think that is in the first. I think that is in the first, in one of the first slides, no? This one. So here at least we don't have the AIC information here, but we have the R-squares. These are for the chum models. Then these are those Chinook models that relate to those specific vital rates, right? And then we move to the next slide that shows the new R-squares.
Wait a minute.
Oh. And in all cases, the R-squares increase. All the ones that are in those boxes, they increase. The R-squares increase, right? Except in the only one that didn't increase was the one that is at the bottom for the southern residents, and that is representing Washington Fall, Chum, and Coastwise Chinook ocean abundance. In this case, the best model excludes Washington Fall, Chum. But in all cases, the R-square increases.
I'm sorry, but I might be missing something. What was the R-square without Chum in that model compared to 0.383?
Oh, they are not listed here, right? I mean, yeah. I have them, but they are not here.
The previous slide.
No, but I think that what Sean is referring is I need to show the whole sequence of how I use a stepwise procedure, right? So in this stepwise procedure, you are accumulating all the R squares, right? And it's computing the AICs and all of that.
I just went by. I didn't see.
There's lots of information that I decided.
Of the two yeah. models,
yeah.
In terms of their R squares, the AICs, their weights.
Yeah, I could show you. I could show you one. Yeah. I mean, all of that information is available. Yeah.
Huh? When you carry the regressions forward in the elasticity analysis, did you use the best model? Or?
When you carry these forward into the perturbation analysis and,
yes.
and to examine the elasticities, did you use the best model or did you use a model average?
The best model.
You have
for
support.
Those that, what I'm showing here, I'm showing what is shown in, without the volume is high. Just 1 second. Like, for example, here, right? This the elasticity of that particular model there, that is Chum Washington terminal run plus Chinook Fraser Alien Puget Sound terminal run, right? That was the best model identified by the AIC. Analysis.
But there was, judging from your table, there was substantial support for other models as well.
Yeah, I guess, and we can see it, and I can show you the details on those results. Yes, it was just decided here. I mean, if you want to show what is the maximum effect, right? Trying to, what would be the potential maximum influence on population growth rate? I chose just the one that has the largest influence on the specific vital rate. In this case, the fecundity of the all reproductive females.
Yep.
I'm just curious if your model is able to, how it weights the timing of the chum on the impact for the whales. And the reason I ask is that they're eating chum right after having very, very good, consistent Fraser River salmon. So those are a less critical, might be a less critical impact on the survivorship of the population compared to, say, the Chinook in early spring, to beat a dead horse. So I'm just wondering how your model takes that into account.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, it's important, but yeah, so far there is no way of incorporating that information in this kind of thing.
This probably reflects my ignorance of this technique that you're using, and maybe you or Eric can answer it. But so here in the lower graph here, you have on the one on the left is a Chinook only.
Yes.
Then you have Chum and Chinook. How much? So I'm thinking if you did an experiment where you took a time series of random numbers. And you plugged it into the model. How much would that increase the, you know, what would that effect be on the contribution to CV?
I think
just
that
due to chance, it was kind of random.
Yeah. I think that that's something that we explore in more detail in the PDA, right, which is the next step. And what happens is that the methodology goes this way. We develop what we consider a very robust demographic model for killer whales, right? Then, using information from that model, we relate it with salmon information. We bring those interactions into the perturbation analysis, and then we follow these two kind of analysis. One that is retrospective, looking at the past, right, the influence on the past population growth, and the potential influence on the future, right, which are the elasticities. Right? But in this case, we don't have any kind of a simulation. That's something that we are going to incorporate when we go to the PBA, which is the next thing. Using all of this, the main purpose of this information, at least from our point of view, was to identify those interactions that are important to be explored in the next step, which is the population variability analysis. I mean, what are the fishing scenarios that are going to give you some kind of nice contrast, right? So in this case, because the effects on population growth are so little, even in the largest cases there, right, we are looking at maximizing effects, and that's something that we are going to see in the PBA. And in the PBA, then we have that kind of randomness. I cannot hear you very well.
This is another dead horse to beat, but it's very obvious that in the early fall that JPI comes into South Puget Sound and targeting chum salmon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we have similar data for K&L pods and whether or not this analysis could be done for looking at a JPOD-specific strategy versus the impact on the overall group.
Yeah, I think that that's an interesting point, and we kind of discussed it yesterday, you and I, that if there is enough information to stratify the influence or the availability or the encounter of specific Chinook salmon or chum salmon stocks in the diet of the different pods, right, then it will be possible to try to bring that information into this kind of model. What I was arguing is that still, from the demographic point of view, it doesn't make sense to talk about things like the population growth rate of a pod, for example. But we can bring that kind of information and revealing that the pods have different access to different resources.
Antonio, Pat here. Hi. See, I wonder if you could help me with your perspective on how good the models are. The slides, it's kind of hard to see, but you were looking at R-squareds in the scan of all the different models, and you did focus in on the improvement in the R-squares, but it seemed like the absolute value of the R-squareds was pretty low, like 10% to 20 or 30%. I would like your perspective on that. I think, I'm familiar with the use of that statistic in informing us how well, say, a salmon forecast model might work. And if we were operating in that range, it would be really poor. And it seems like the relative change, though that's optimistic or it's positive, still kind of goes from terrible to poor at best. And
yeah.
So what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, the decision, even I'm showing the R squares in that table, the decision was made in relationship to the lowest AIC value, right? And the weight of those AIC values. And but as you say, even bringing CHUM into the equation, right, is still the effect of on population growth rate, it remains pretty low, right? And we have to accept that the quality of the CHUM data is not as good as we wish. And but if we consider and we take that information, yeah, there is an improvement in the relationship, but that but the effect remains pretty low. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we should break for coffee. That's all right, and reassemble in 20 minutes. So, folks, could be back here just before 10:30. That'll keep us on schedule. Thanks.